good to be in studio. Good to be with all of you on Monday morning as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Before we go to the questions that people are calling in, I want to mention something that I have been focused on for a few days, and that is Professor Bart Ehrman, who has made it clear that from his perspective, the Bible is filled with discrepancies, many of them irreconcilable contradictions. And he says that scholars have known this for hundreds of years, but the sad thing is the general public is yet in the dark. And now through his books and his media appearances, he is trying to enlighten those who have darkened minds. He wants them to know that Moses did not write the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament, and that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John did not write the Gospels, and that the Exodus probably didn't happen, and the conquest of the Promised Land is probably based on legend, and on it goes. And he says when students first hear this, the conservative ones resist for a while, but before long, many of them find that their faith begins to waver. Well, Bart Ehrman says that one of his favorite discrepancies is that Jesus evidently had a painfully short attention span. And what he characterizes as this favorite of his apparent discrepancies would be easy to resolve were Bart Ehrman not hopelessly lost in a wooden literal labyrinth of his own making. Here's how he cites the problem. And I'm reading from his book. In John 13:36, Peter says to Jesus, "Lord, where are you going?" A few verses later, Thomas says, "Lord, we do not know where you are going." And then a few minutes later, at the same meal, Jesus upbraids his disciples, saying, "Now, I am going to the one who sent me, yet none of you ask me, where are you going?" That leaves only two possibilities, says Ehrman. Either Jesus had a very short attention span, or there's something strange going on with the sources for these chapters. Now, how do you respond to that? The first thing I would say to Professor Ehrman and those that he is proud of causing to waver in their faith is that it's instructive to note that were I to take Professor Bart in a woodenly literal sense, in the same sense that he takes the Bible, I'd be doing him a grave injustice. It would hardly be fair to suppose that he really thinks it possible that Jesus had a very short attention span. Anyone who reads his book in context knows full well that Ehrman is convinced that John, by the way, he characterizes John as a lower class illiterate, an Aramaic speaking peasant, that John did not write the gospel attributed to him, and that the sources that cobbled together the text were decidedly unreliable. Furthermore, we must be careful not to fall for historical revisionists who, like Bart Ehrman, would have us believe, on the basis of Acts chapter 4, that John was illiterate and therefore could not have written the fourth gospel. John may have been unlettered, in the sense that he was not educated beyond the primary schooling available to boys at that time, but he was clearly not illiterate. Not only is it an uncharitable stretch to demean John as illiterate from the standpoint of his formal education, but this characterization neglects the immediate and the overall context of the book of Acts, where the supposedly unlearned apostles continually astonish the Jewish teachers of the law with their knowledge and wisdom in much the same way that Jesus himself had, though he too was without the prerequisite rabbinic training demanded by ermine. Moreover, following the resurrection of our Lord, there is every indication that the apostles devoted themselves to the study and ministry of the Word of God. An entire adult lifetime of that kind of study can easily account for John's ability to produce an astonishingly sophisticated and subtly nuanced literary masterpiece. Finally, allow me to underscore what is painfully obvious to anyone who engages Barth's so-called problems with the Bible. Professor ermine, it seems, is wholly incapable of comprehending the subtlety of sophisticated literary nuances. Instead, he's bent on forcing the text through a fundamentalistic filter. Peter and Jesus obviously utter the words, "Where are you going?" with a decidedly different drift. As has been well said, Peter's question was only a selfish exclamation which would not hear of Jesus' going away alone. And the assertion of Thomas was nothing but an expression of discouragement and dullness of mind. So here Jesus is leaving. He's going to his sender, means so much to his disciples, and yet none of them request one word of this precious information. Put another way, while the disciples focused on mean earthly vanities, Christ intended to elevate their gaze to eternal verities. Well, was Jesus a dummy with a painfully short attention span as per Professor ermine? Or is Professor ermine hopelessly lost in a wooden literal labyrinth of his own making? I ask you to be the judge. But remember, while I have responded to this discrepancy, Professor ermine has thrown so many up against the wall that his students are wavering in their faith, and many of these evangelical Christians that went to Sunday school, church, made professions of faith, and now don't know what to think. That's why the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute continually tackles these issues head on. Because make no mistake about it, the Bible is under siege. And someone has to stand in the gap. We are equipping God's people to answer the kinds of objections raised by professors gone wild in classrooms around the country, so that you might know that your faith is not based in discrepancies, but that your faith is ultimately defensible. And of course, we need you to stand with us prayerfully and financially as we engage in this battle for truth. You can support the ministry at equip.org. or by writing me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And let me tell you, I am deeply grieved by the popularity of attacks against the Bible. I'm deeply grieved by it. My kids come home and tell me about it because they've heard about it or they've seen it on television. The calls and letters flood in. And I was reading in USA Today that the ranks of the happy agnostics and atheists are growing in America by leaps and bounds. More and more people are now convinced that the Bible is simply untrustworthy. The only good thing for us to do in this kind of a milieu is to refuse to be silent. The only thing necessary for evil to triumph, as has been well said, is for good men to do nothing.